from our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida. You are listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto.
Welcome to another episode of the Striking Corner Podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and as always, I am joined by my good friend, Vinny Scotto. What's up, man?
You think you let that song go on long enough or what?
Yeah, you know, I was just getting prepared. Just getting the voice prepared. Sipping on my organic honey and ginger tea in order to voice this podcast in the way it deserves.
Okay. Cool.
I let the intro go on a little bit too long. I should have started it from where the beat, you know, hits.
Just redo it.
Yeah. I'm not going to redo it. It's fine. Anyway, so welcome to the Striking Corner Podcast, guys. This episode is brought to you by Sit Kyat Nin Muay Thai. That is in 1918 Murray Avenue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Coaches are David Reese, Marissa Barr Harmon, and Chris Merritt. We have programs for everyone from people wanting to get in shape to those who want to compete as well, and a dedicated women's program and a forthcoming kids program for participants as young as age 6. That's once again Sit Kyat Nin Muay Thai in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thank you to them for reaching out and sponsoring this episode. So what's going on, Vin?
Not much, man. What's going on with you?
Chilling, man. My weekend has been wild. I feel like, Vin, you know this because we were discussing it over the weekend. I'm getting old, and I feel like the things that I used to do, or both you and I used to do in our 20s, I can no longer do anymore, man.
You were never able to do it. So stop acting like you were. Because
well, what did you write me when after I was posting all that shit on my stories about the electric? The thing is, we had for my job, because I work in radio. We had an event at the Fontainebleau Hotel, which is a very big popular hotel here in Miami. And we had an electric pool party, a bunch of EDM DJs and stuff, because this weekend was Ultra. And I was pretty much bitching the whole time.
I forgot it was Ultra. That's right. It's always been the weekend of my birthday.
Yeah, yeah. That's right, man. So happy birthday, by the way.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Like I was saying we were getting into... When I saw all the things that you were posting, I said that your job would have been so much cooler when we were 25 and single.
It's true.
But
it's
now I'm 35 and married with children, and I don't even want to leave my couch.
Exactly.
So when I look at your pictures, I kind of think your job sucks. So that's basically it.
Believe it or not, I was really – so the day before there was – There was a opening day for the Miami Marlins, which is a terrible baseball team. Yeah, exactly. And I drank a little bit too much. And by too much, I mean, I maybe had 2 or 3 drinks.
Which, by the way, has always been too much for her.
Exactly.
I'm sure I've told this story before, but I had a really big house party, 4th of July party, when I lived in Florida. And I found Eric sleeping on the grass.
On the side
of my house. And then he woke up and quit his job.
Which was...
Because he was so hungover, so he woke up and quit his job.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. There's more to that story, but it was... It was that great, though.
Yeah, but yeah, he man. Called in, I quit, instead of calling in sick.
Exactly. But anyway, yeah, my job and that, man, I was just so tired after that, and I've been out ever since. Like, I feel like I've just not been able to, you know, one day of that, and I just want to sleep all weekend. So I'm glad, actually, to be doing the podcast today. Because
let's go on a different topic. Eric went out and bought his first had his first try at CBD this weekend.
Yeah.
How did that go, Eric?
That was good, man. Believe it or not, I'm actually believe it or not, I am a an advocate now for CBD oil, and because it besides that, I had like a back pain and all sorts of stuff and just feeling fucking exhausted, and that just relaxed me. So it was all good, man. It's all good.
Eric was texting me a play-by-play as he was using the CBD. He was like, how much do I do, man? Do I like do the whole thing? And he was like a child.
This is true.
But anyway, so yeah.
back to our regular scheduled podcast. Yeah. So anyway, guys, okay. So for social media, you can always get us at strikingcorner.com. That is our main website where our podcast, lives, aside from all of the other, podcast applications that you can find us on, like iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Spotify now. So wherever you like to listen to your podcast, we are available there. So as we have also mentioned before, if you guys are listening to us through iTunes and through the podcast app there, please make sure to, when you can, give us a comment, a rating. iTunes has such a big library that the more ratings and comments you guys leave, you know, podcasts and things like that, it positions us better in their library. So we could really use the help, and definitely, you know, you guys have been so supportive. So help us out with that. And besides that, you can find us on our Instagram at Striking Corner, Facebook at Striking Corner, and on Twitter at Striking Corner. My Instagram personal is Eric Rivera_TSC. Vin, how could they get in touch with you to get to
the... You can get in touch with me on Instagram, which is at Vinny Scotto.
Yeah, still trying to get to those 10,000 followers, huh, man?
Of course, man. That's the goal.
That's the goal. All right. So without further ado, though, we'll cut out all the bullshit now and go to our guest. Actually, our guest today is somebody we're pretty good friends with, he's a really great fighter. Somebody that we are, you know, we follow a lot on social media. He's a very talented fighter from our good neighbors to the north. You know, that sort of, what do they say? It's that, you know, that quiet neighbor on top of the really cool party is Canada.
No, that was actually Robin Williams.
Is that what he said?
Said that in one of his stand-ups. He said it's like a... like a loft apartment over a really cool party.
So he's Canadian, and we are happy to have him on the podcast. The good friend, Scott Smash McKenzie.
Way to welcome him by talking shit about his country.
Oh, yeah. So that's true. But welcome, Scott Smash McKenzie, to the podcast. We will have him on in just one moment, and we will be right back.
The Striking Corner.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Striking Corner podcast. And once again, as we had mentioned at the beginning of the show, we are here with none other than Scott Smash McKenzie, all the way from Canada. And I like to say all the way because Canada is very far away from where I am, not too far away from where Vinny is. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me, guys. Really a pleasure to join you on the show.
I mean, we're excited to have you. I mean, we're always excited to have, you know, people from up north. We just love your accent. And before we get started, I want to pay, you know, respect to a fellow Canadian. All right, so that's...
Thanks for that.
So anyway, man, so Scott, you represent...
I don't know who that is.
Who?
What was that?
You didn't know what that was?
No.
It was the Canadian national anthem.
That's the anthem.
I thought you said you wanted to pay respect to someone. I thought you meant the person singing it.
No.
Make it clear now.
You just made everyone hate you, Vinny. You don't recognize the Canadian national anthem.
No, wait. First of all, I didn't say I didn't recognize the anthem. You said someone, so I thought you meant a person.
Oh, okay.
I know the anthem. And number two, even if I didn't know the anthem, I'm not Canadian. So why would anybody hate me?
Were you going through your repertoire of Canadian artists there? Like, is this Celine Dion? I don't know.
Yeah, I was really confused for a second. That's exactly. Actually what I was doing. Yeah. But anyway, back to the show, asshole.
All right, so we are here, like once again, I said, with Scott Smash McKenzie. So Scott, you are currently fighting out of Elite Martial Arts in Calgary, and also you have your business, which is Fight Fit, also in Calgary. And I know that with Elite, I know you were at a different gym before. Now you're at Elite Martial Arts with Kieran Kettle, who, you know, he was based in the UK for a long time out of the Double K gym, you know, definitely had a lot of success in the UK, and now he's training with you. How has that been?
Well, it's fantastic. We really found ourselves a great fit training with Team Elite. We were kind of almost thinking of moving. Like, we were like, do we go to Denver? Do we go to LA? Where can we go? And then we found out that Kieran was moving here with his family. And we also have another great full-time coach there in Francois Duval. And it's just kind of like a gift from the Muay Thai gods to Calgary, Alberta. It's been great.
Nice.
I'm kind of disappointed that when you were going through that list of places to move, you didn't consider Staten Island. I'm a little disappointed.
I think I listed three or four. You guys were next.
Okay.
I had to keep it short.
He was in the top five, apparently. Top 10. Let's be real. So Scott, I mean, you've come out, you know, we've known Scott for a long time. You know, Scott, you know, we've gone back and forth on social media, on Messenger, you know, Scott, you're an awesome dude to talk to. You've been doing amazing stuff for the sport in the sense of, you know, you're just kicking ass when it comes to, you know, your performances. You recently won the gold medal at the Pan Ams. And then right now coming up, you're going to be making your pro debut. That is in April, I believe, correct?
Yeah, the 13th of April.
The 13th of April, and you're going to be facing a pretty stiff test, which is a narrow pole Fairtex. How is that? I know we can get into it a little bit later, but, you know, it's a big deal because, it's a stiff test for your debut.
Yeah, no doubt. It is a definite step up in competition, fighting someone with that kind of experience and pedigree. Like, I think you'd be hard pressed to find somebody who doesn't know his name in the sport. Mm-hmm. He's definitely like one of the OG Fairtex guys.
Yeah.
And, I'm just super excited for the opportunity. Can't wait. I'm super excited. And, I've been training really, really hard.
Well, if there's anything I know, I mean, and if anybody of you guys follows Scott on social media, I think the one thing that's always blown me away about you, bro, is you know, you're such a freaking hard worker. I mean, you really do put it out there. You're on, obviously, if anybody follows you on Instagram, you are somebody who's always working out. You're always pushing hard. Your fitness is always at a peak level. I mean, I know, in addition, and I didn't know this until we were just speaking off air, but in addition to training, obviously, at Elite Martial Arts with Kieran, you have your own business, which is Fight Fit. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, you bet. So I originally went to school. That's why I moved to Calgary. I went to the University of Calgary. Mm-hmm. And I did environmental science. So for a lot of years, I was an environmental scientist. And then our industry kind of crashed here and I got laid off, which ended up kind of being the blessing in disguise. And since then, I've been a strength and conditioning coach, a nutrition coach, and teaching Muay Thai, doing private lessons under my own business umbrella, which is Fight Fit YYC. And I do that here in Calgary and online with my girlfriend, Megan Cameron.
Oh, very cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, because I mean, like, we're always seeing And a lot of people that follow you here, I know you have a big following in North America. I mean, sorry, in the States. A lot of the American fighters that have fought at IFMA know you very well. They cheer you on when you're fighting in the tournaments and representing Canada and doing well. So, you know, and we see, man, we see the amount of work you put in. So it's no surprise that you're going to be facing, that you've done so well and that now, you know, making this jump right now to pro. So I know you have 30 plus fights in your career. Tell us a little bit about how you got started in the sport. Tell us a little bit about, like, why, you know, why out of everything you could have chosen, you know, were you active? Were you a person that was active in sports when you were in high school, when you were in college beforehand? What led you down the path of Muay Thai?
Well, I've always been, like, I would consider myself like kind of a lifelong athlete, but not really like a jock. Like, I didn't really like the kind of like team school sports things. Like, I always played them, but it was never really my passion. I was always doing other things. I was actually really into skateboarding when I was a kid. And then the injuries started racking up with that. So I was like, I need to find a sport that hurts my body even more than skateboarding. So I actually just from watching fights on TV and everything, I kind of saw Muay Thai. I think I was watching Anderson Silva fight actually, and they showed like the little skills ticker at the bottom.
Yeah.
It said Muay Thai expert. And I was like, Muay Thai, hey, I wonder what that's all about. So I just looked it up, and there was a gym pretty close to me in Calgary, and started training, and trained kind of not so seriously for the first few years that I trained. And then I went the typical progression. I did those like continuous sparring tournaments. Mm-hmm. And then I had a few smokers, and then I finally got on a fight card, and I won my first fight by KO. And then, like, after that, I was completely hooked. I was trying to fight as much as I could, train as much as I could. Just fell in love with the sport.
I would have expected you to say something more like snowboarding rather than skateboarding.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad sport to be in Canada because you can only really do it, like, 4 or 5 months out of the year.
So you said you moved to Calgary. Where, you mean, just to – where are you originally from in Canada? Are you from Calgary area or –
I'm from a small town just north of Calgary. It's like 2 hours drive north of Calgary called Macomb, Alberta. And it's kind of like a sleepy little farming and retirement town.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
It's a good place to be from.
Nice.
Yeah.
I know Vinny, you always like to ask the question of like when you got into Muay Thai, or Vinny, do you want to ask it about, you know, fighting? Was it something that you wanted to do or?
Well, you already asked it.
So well, I mean, it's your favorite question to ask, so I want you to...
I mean, it's really not, because you always ask it for me, so it's your favorite question to ask. Okay, yeah. Scott, did you know you were going to fight, or was it... Well, he already said it, pretty much, but did you immediately know you were going to fight, or were you just getting involved, you know, for fitness as a casual enthusiast, or was, you know, fighting something that you thought of immediately?
It definitely wasn't something that I thought of immediately. Like I didn't even go and watch our gym's fights for the first while I was training. And we had some amazing athletes coming out of Calgary and some big cards back in the day, but like I was kind of oblivious to it. Once I started getting better, like getting more skills, then I was like, oh, I might be able to actually do something with this and take it to like kind of the next competitive level. So, nice. Yeah, I would say it wasn't even really on my radar to begin with.
Yeah, I assume that because you said when you first started, you were kind of just casually training. So,
yeah.
But Eric insisted that we ask the questions.
Because you like it, because I want to get you involved in, you know. but no, you know, what's interesting to me is, I guess, because you're 30 plus fights in, you're killing it, you know, you're at a high level. I mean... For the people that are listening, that don't know, in the Pan Ams that you won the gold medal, you actually took on, it was Giovanni Massetti, right? Giovanni, the older brother, Giovanni Massetti from Peru, who he has done a lot of, I mean, he's done a lot of damage internationally as well. And, he's a high level dude, and you fought him. What was that? That was a semifinal, correct? That was
we were the third fight.
Yeah, so he was. You fought him in the semifinal, and I remember when I saw that you were going to match up with him, I was like, "Damn, man, that's going to be a tough fight for you." And you ended up winning that fight. And like I said, this is a guy for you guys that follow the sport. He's fought in a lot of, you know, international tournaments. He's been on Top King. He's won in a couple of different things, and he's done very, very well. And you beat him. And that is a, you know, it's a testament to how well you're doing. And obviously that guy, he is an A-class fighter. He's fought at the pro level. So, you've been doing really well. I mean, what I want to say with that is, when did you, so you were fighting all this time and you said it wasn't something that you were really 100% focused on at first, or I wouldn't say focused on, but it wasn't your interest that much. But when did it start getting really serious for you? When did you feel like this is, I want to start competing, and not only, well, when you were already competing, but you want to be a champion and really take it to a higher level?
I would say the first time that I went to Thailand, which was like 2013, and I fought in Thailand. Mm-hmm. And then after I came back from that, I was like, I want to run with this. And I started getting more international opponents in Calgary. I was fighting guys from abroad in Calgary. And then I also started putting myself into the American scene and fighting at the amateur tournaments in the States.
The other question too is, I mean, and you can, you know, you could chime in based on your knowledge of it. But the thing is, I've always wondered is why, because I've gone to various tournaments here in the States when I was fighting and everything. Canada, to be honest with you, Canada was always feared, in the sense that the Canadian teams were always feared because they always had a very, they always brought a very high level. I remember, you know, it was just something that was always uttered when a Canadian team would come in. I believe you were with Mike Miles before, correct? So I remember my first fight, one of my first Muay Thai fights, well, not even a Muay Thai fight. I went into the Muay Thai division being a sandshell fighter, and I got my nose fucking broken. Well, not broken, but busted by a Mike Miles guy. And that's kind of when I knew, like, oh, shit, like, these guys are kind of another level. But it wasn't just that. It was just watching the whole Muay Thai team. At that time, it was not Nate, but the older brother, Trevor Smandich.
Sure.
And they were, you know, he fought a good friend of mine. And, you know, they went at it. And my friend was a Sancho fighter, a really talented guy. And when Trevor was starting to beat his ass, he just, like, resorted to his Sanchow skills and just fucking tossed them across the ring. And everyone was, like, I remember Mike Miles standing up and yelling, like, this isn't MMA or some shit like that, you know. But it was just a way of desperation to stop it from getting beat. But I always wonder, what do you think is the difference between the Muay Thai in Canada and the Muay Thai here in the States? Why is it that Muay Thai or Canada, I'm sorry, took to Muay Thai, it seems, quicker or faster or I don't know, more so than the U.S. did?
I'm not sure if we even have, but I just think that we have, like, maybe a higher concentration of serious athletes, because our population really isn't that big. And the sport here is actually not as caught up as you guys are, especially in terms of, like, the sports organization. USMF is ahead of Muay Thai Canada.
I mean, I also think that, Eric, I think you're basing it off of also being in Florida, the experience of, you're talking about the IKF, which is in Florida, and that's, you know, where you were, where we were. Mm-hmm. So,
but regardless, if you see a Canadian register in your division, you should be scared.
I'm not trying to take anything away. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, I think it's caught up now. Like, that, this was more so when I was fighting. Obviously, I know it's caught up now, where, you know, the States, because I obviously, when I started to, I was doing a lot of commentary work for Takeon back in the day when they existed. And there was a lot of fighters coming down from Toronto and in that entire, you know, in Ontario and that area. And then you had guys, you know, we knew about guys like Gabe Varga coming down, and they were kicking ass and that type of stuff. And obviously Simon Marcus and these guys. So you've had these names that were always, these Canadian names that were always sort of synonymous with being very elite class level guys. But I get what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, I think the infrastructure maybe has always been a little bit better here, but I always felt like maybe it was also, you know, and I, this is something I also saw was you would always see a lot of the teams that sort of stemmed from that Siam number one group, you know, so it was, you know, whether it was Siam number one or Crudar or, you know, all these other gyms that sort of shot out from that, that really had a high level. And then I always knew about Mike Miles, and Mike Miles' gym was pretty much pretty steady in going to the IKF and the TBAs and were consistent.
Siam number one is the lineage of, was that a John Suchard?
Suchard.
He's pretty much, he's built up quite a dynasty in Toronto. And I would say probably too, it has something to do with the fact that we don't have like that many fighters up here. Mm-hmm. So I think that once you get to a certain level, you've beat up everybody in your area code. You got to start going to those tournaments in the States. And yeah. That's probably why you're seeing high level guys, because they've beat up everybody around here. So now they're going down to the States, they're getting on promotions down there, they're getting on tournaments down there to continue to further their career.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, it's probably like the pickings for you guys to get up. I mean, there's a lot of great training, but for you guys to actually continue to compete, you got to come down here, which makes sense. But I mean, I just remembered it was always like, you know, back in the time when I was fighting, it was always like, wow, you know, the Canadians got a tight, a very good level of Muay Thai. But again, like Vinny said, it could be that too, that, you know, we were in Florida where Muay Thai was pretty non-existent. And to a point, it still kind of is, whether you have, you know, the only names you really know are the guys that are coming out of Ace's team, you know, who he's a high level dude. But besides that, it was kind of like, yeah, our only exposure was IKF. And in IKF, it was you guys were coming down and beating the shit out of everybody. I remember one year Val Tellini came down when he was still an amateur and he just fucking wrecked everyone.
I think it's the weather too. Hard weather makes hard people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But then you guys are nice too.
You know, going back to, I wanted to ask you before, but we kind of jumped topic. So we're talking about hard weather, hard people and all that shit. I see all your training videos, you know, we were talking about your work ethic and all that. What does a day in the life of Scott look like in terms of training?
It's pretty, I structure my own schedule usually. So if I have a fight coming up, I will build in a little bit more extra time for my own training and recovery. But typically I'm working with clients in the morning, and then I'll have a training session in the morning, either with myself or with Coach Kieran or Francois. And then I'm back with clients. And then in the evening, I have another training session with Team Elite and Coach Kieran and Francois again. And then I try to do 2 to 3 strength and conditioning sessions a week. So I'm training twice a day, 6 days a week, sometimes 3 times a day. Nice. Listening to the body though, but yeah, I'm treating myself like a professional athlete. I'm putting 100% effort into this sport.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think it's a huge, not to say that you're not at an advantage, but I think it's a huge, the fact that you have your, you know, your work as part of, you know, your work and all that is also involved in strength and conditioning and training, and then that opportunity to, you know, and I mean, and let's go about like you earn your living also training people, right? That's your business too. So you're able to sustain the training session. I mean, sorry, the training, the level of training that you have, you're able to sustain it and live off of it as well, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's been great. The Calgary scene is really good. I have a lot of really great clients from all walks of life. Everyone wants to learn Muay Thai these days. So I think it's important that they find an instructor who's legit, because I know you guys have them in the States too. There's lots of these little pop-up shops where they teach someone to hold pads in 30 minutes and then...
Yeah. You're talking about nine round? You talking about nine round or I Love Kickboxing or something like that?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to mention their names.
No.
Vinny's a shareholder, just so you know.
Yeah.
All right.
Give you a coach certificate in 30 minutes.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
yeah, no, it's good though, because I used to be in an environment where I was kind of just, I was working out in the field at first when I was an environmental scientist, and then I kind of worked myself out of that role, and I was in a cubicle writing reports no one ever reads. So it's just kind of mind numbing, but now I'm doing something that's more in line with my passions. Like, I'm fired up every day. It's a lot of fun.
More rewarding.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that definitely, that's awesome, man. I mean, to be able to make a living doing what you love, but then also being able to push yourself and maintain the level of training that you need to continue competing at a high level. You know, tell us a little bit about, you know, I know your next fight is Narapol. What is lined up right now for your pro career? Like, what are you looking at after Narapol? Is there anything else lined up, or right now you 100% focused on that fight?
I would say right now I'm 100% focused, but you obviously, like, you have irons in the fire. You know what's kind of coming down the line. The main thing for me, of course, is IFMA in July, mm-hmm. in Bangkok with Team Canada.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, because the thing I think the thing that, you know, we've discussed it a lot of times here on the podcast. I think the one thing when it comes to any of us or any of the fighters, us, I'm not even competing, in North America is, like, when we talk about fighters going pro, there's always that fear, you know, and we always fear is the lack of opportunities, in the sense that it's very difficult these days to stay as active as a pro fighter would like to be, especially in North America. So you have to kind of constantly be searching for stuff, and things fall through, and things are not as finite as you would like them to be. But I mean, you're with a great organization when it comes to Triumphant. When it comes to that, I know for sure they've got their, you know, the I's dotted and the T's crossed, but there's other things that you also always want to continue searching for. So it's also great that you're looking forward to IFMA and then onwards from there as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. And like I have some other opportunities. That's one great thing about working with Kieran is he's got so many good connections, like literally all around the world. My teammate Mark McKinnon, he just fought in Dubai. Mm-hmm. And yes. There's stuff going on in the UK. There's stuff going on all over the place. So trying not to look too far ahead or past anything, but there's definite opportunities. Not in not in Calgary though. Pro Muay Thai is pretty much dead here. Doing our research, we actually found that the commission here charges almost the most on earth. So
Jesus, like for what? For putting up events and stuff?
For sanctioning professional fights, I think the base fee is 15,000 Canadian.
Wow.
And then they can, at their discretion, make that higher based on your venue size. They're giving themselves per diems for gas and food, even though they live in town.
Oh, shit.
The glove runners get paid $500. Like, sign me up. I'll be a glove runner.
Yeah, that's insane.
I don't know. So unless something changes there, Pro Muay Thai is going to be pretty hard to do in town here. There are some organizations doing pro K1 kickboxing. Dakata is doing that here, but Pro Muay Thai hasn't happened since Trevor Smandich's last card a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because I remember Journey was one that a lot of times I used to talk about, and he used to reach out to us occasionally to put up posters and stuff for Journey. A lot of good, a lot of American fighters were going up there to compete.
Yeah. Great promotion. But once the economy dipped a little bit, you lose some of your corporate sponsorships. You just can't make a go of it when you're spending that much money on the commission.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So what you're saying is there's no corruption there.
I wouldn't go as far to say it's corruption, but I think maybe they just have a skewed idea of what people are actually making on these fight cards.
Yeah, that's true. There you go.
So if you showed up to the office with like some Tim Hortons donuts, they wouldn't lower the fee a little bit?
I haven't tried that yet.
So from what I've heard, there's some areas of Canada that Muay Thai is not even legal. Is that true?
Most areas, actually. Really? Especially professional rules. In most provinces, you have to do modified rules. Even though they'll let the UFC in and they're throwing bows and whatever, then when it comes to Muay Thai, they're like, oh, no, you can't throw elbows. It kind of doesn't make sense. It makes me think that they don't really understand what is going on. But
yeah,
they're working towards it, definitely. And Muay Thai Canada, which is our like international federation, mm-hmm. Has definitely made some strides there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that was always that the pretty much the same issue I think with the UFC had there was the issue they had for the longest time too in New York, although there were union issues and things like that. But it was like, why, you know, I think it was a little bit the other way around because they would wonder why they would allow Muay Thai in New York, but they wouldn't allow the UFC, you know, and, but then it was also, you know, it was only modified rules. And then finally, when the UFC was allowed to come in, it kind of opened the door a little bit for Muay Thai, but they still have, there's still a lot of weird stuff going on with New York. Isn't there, Vin? There's like, or is it?
You're totally, completely wrong on that.
Was it? Well, yeah, then correct me because I know you're up there. So.
Yeah, well, New York was allowed full Muay Thai rules for a while.
Yeah.
They actually allow amateurs to fight full Muay Thai rules after two fights, just mm-hmm. with elbow pads.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but there was a lot of things that changed when the UFC came in that, like, before they legalized MMA, smokers were legal. You can legally do smokers. Now, ever since MMA became legal, smokers became illegal. So there's a lot of politics involved. I'm sure a lot of it involved the union and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't think it had anything to do with the rule sets of either, to be honest.
Yeah. But no, but I think what was one of the arguments was like, why are you allowing, if you're allowing, because I remember something was like, if you were, some of the arguments from the UFC were like, if you're allowing these guys to do Muay Thai and do full rules, why is the UFC not there? But it was kind of the way of New York to sort of say, not allow them in. But then it was really like, even though it was really like a union issue and there was a lot of other political shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about any of it to really say anything because I don't really pay much attention to the UFC. I just know that full rules Muay Thai has been allowed since I've been back in New York.
Yeah. But I know in Ontario and all that, even in Montreal, they were fighting that for years where it's like crazy where they allow UFC, but there's like no Muay Thai allowed or anything.
Only federally recognized provincial sport organization is Muay Thai Ontario. So we have like each province would need to get its own provincial sport organization recognized. Yeah. And then once every province has their recognition, then you could get more recognition from Sport Canada, which would be the federal government. And for that, you need like X number of members. I think it's 5,000. So we're a long ways away from being recognized by Sport Canada. Like, and that is, that would be Muay Thai's route into the Olympics in Canada. So it's coming, but it's a ways away. There's a lot of regulatory hurdles to get over, which Muay Thai Canada's working on.
Yeah, it seems like we all have some issues to work out on that end.
So what is the general, I mean, going back to obviously commissions and all that type of stuff aside, you know, what is the I guess the consensus or the feeling of Muay Thai in Canada or in your area, I would say, is it something like you were saying, there's pop-ups and all this type of stuff that are saying they do Muay Thai. So people know about the sport, but they're just, is there a lot of interest in the sport?
I would say it's definitely like, it's coming along, especially, it's a lot bigger in Ontario. Like I'm a long ways away from the rest of Canada. Sometimes it seems like being in Western Canada.
Yeah.
But, the sport is growing quite a bit here. There are lots of good gyms. There's some good promotions that are allowing local talent to get some good opportunities and also bringing in some Americans now. And Ontario, the scene is pretty big, like our national team trials in Ontario, several hundred athletes, and there's some good cards in Ontario. Megan just fought a little while ago on that She Fights promotion. Where they brought up several really talented American fighters. And,
Yeah,
there's some good things going on for sure. And I would say the awareness of the sport is only getting bigger.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like in order for the sport to really get where we all want it to be, we need those shitty little pop-up gyms just to have bodies under the sport. And then, you know, they'll get weaned out in the end anyway, but I feel like we may need them at first.
100%. I agree. I think, like, if you get a ton of people in boxing gloves, a certain percentage of them are going to be like, you know, this isn't that legit. I want to seek out a gym that is. Yeah. I want to find someone who's actually fighting and competing in this and learn from them.
Yeah. So,
in a roundabout way, maybe it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, after a while, I think if you're going to one of those gyms and then you start like watching, you know, you get interested and you start watching fights, you're going to know that what you're doing is not the real deal. And then you're going to go and look for that.
I don't know, man. Have you seen some of their Instagram videos?
Well, I mean, fuck, dude.
Double hammer fists.
I've seen your video, man. I've seen your video with,
oh yeah. The 9-round challenge spoof.
Yeah, man. Look good, man. I think you should have opened one on your own. Be making a lot of money right now with those 30-minute workouts or whatever. So, you know, the funny thing is, I think for the longest time, I was under the impression, and I guess it was because my Mike Miles gym was there, and then Journey Fight Series, and I knew a lot about, like, that's kind of, I guess because of my fighting career, got sort of stuck in some of those days where, you know, when Trevor and Nate and all these guys were coming, and Mike and everybody was coming out of Mike Miles gym, where Calgary was for a while, like I felt was like a kind of like a hotbed for Muay Thai, at least for talent wise. Didn't mean that there was fighting organizations there, but it felt like there was a lot of movement. But it seems like you're saying that kind of slowed down, or it slowed down because the economy.
I'd say Calgary is still like probably the hub of the West for Muay Thai.
Okay.
We've got a lot of talented athletes, a lot of really good gyms. There's a lot of knowledge and experience in the city for sure. It's definitely like collected in Calgary, but I would say Muay Thai is like unquestionably bigger in Eastern Canada for sure.
Yeah.
Out in Toronto.
Gotcha. Yeah. And then earlier, and I mean, I don't want you to have to get into anything if you don't want to, but I know you mentioned, like I said, you were at Mike Miles before, and now you're with Elite and Kieran Kettle. Now, and then you said you were looking at different places, even thinking about America, thinking about coming to the United States, thinking about, you know, one of your top 10 was Staten Island Muay Thai. You know, you were thinking about, you know, finding a new place to train. What was the reason behind that? Was it because you were trying to find some place where you were really going to, you know, you wanted to go professional and really hit the ground running hard, and you just felt like where you were at wasn't going to be able to do that?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Like, I think sometimes relationships just naturally kind of come to a point where it's not working out for both parties anymore.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm fiercely loyal, but sometimes you just have to reexamine things and say, you know, this is a sport where I have a very short window of time to achieve what I want to achieve. And I've got to give it my all, and my all needs to be with a coach and with a team where I fit the culture and I'm getting that good quality reps in every single day. Because when you go to IFMA, you're not fighting guys who are missing weeks of training, you know, like those guys are straight up murderers funded by their government. Like, so I just had to find a good fit, both like gym wise and like culturally, you know?
Yeah. That makes sense. No, I mean, cause that's what I was wondering. It was just, you know, making that move, and I definitely understand that. And then, I think it was just, like you said, it was a blessing in disguise of the fact that, you know, all of a sudden Kieran Kettle decided to, you know, they decided to come to Calgary.
Oh, totally. And like, that doesn't in and of itself doesn't really mean anything. Cause you know, like I could have not clicked with him and we could have not been a good fit, but like, as it is, we click amazingly and he really gets me. He really understands how to train me and how to make me successful. And under both him and Francois, I've had, I think, incredible growth in a short amount of time, and the opportunities that I've been rewarded with for working with them and putting in the work every single day have been amazing. Like getting to go to Argentina and represent Team Canada, getting this huge opportunity on Triumphant 7 on April 13th. It's amazing.
No, yeah, definitely.
And then Thailand in July.
Yeah, no. World tour.
No, and I really do think Not to say that you were a talented fighter before, but it really has shown in the last few, I would say in the, over the last year, really the sort of kind of leaps and bounds. Like, you know, I don't think you probably expected, or I mean, you obviously always looking to do well, but you know, the, what you did in the Pan Americans and fighting the level of guys that you fought, and your performance as of late just kind of shows that, you know, as we say in the States, or, you know, I don't know if they say it over there, proof is in the pudding, you know, it's really working out for you, you know?
No, for sure. And like, I'm like a lot of fighters, I'm my own worst critic. And sometimes like you go into these fights or these tournaments and you're like, man, am I actually really good enough to win this thing?
Yeah.
And then when you do and you look back at it, you're like, yeah, I am good enough to win this, and I've done it before and I can do it again. And now I kind of look at it like I go into fights and I've trained so hard that I expect to win. I'm not going to disqualify myself by saying, oh, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do well. Like, of course I'm going to do my best, but yeah. Like I have trained so hard that I just go in with the expectation of winning, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not completely focused on the outcome, but I can control every aspect of the process, and that's what's going to give me that confidence, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it definitely has to be a confidence booster, you know, after what that performance and everything, like the performance that you had at the Pan Ams, going into this fight against Narapol, you know, all of that stuff, just your performance, as it, like I said, all of those things are really probably, you know, just morale boosters, in the sense where I guess those sort of doubts start getting a little bit quieter.
Totally. And I'm sorry again, it had to come at the expense of one of your Colombian counterparts, but yeah. Sometimes in battle, there are casualties.
Yeah. Oh man. So that's funny. Yeah. It's, I always bother Scott on Instagram because I tell him that he fought Colombia in the first round. And as you guys know, my background is Colombian, and I'm always like, dude, why did you have to do that to my poor compatriot, man? Beat the shit out of the poor guy.
The only thing Colombians are good at are selling drugs, though.
Oh, dude, yeah. I knew he was going to go. He was going to go in there for some offensive shit, this guy.
Man, if you think about it, they suck at soccer. They suck at Muay Thai. Oh, what are they good at?
Okay. Let's not go there.
Good-looking women and drugs, that's it.
And coffee too, man. Coffee.
Okay, I'll give him coffee, but Italian coffee is better.
Oh, please. But, you know, I think one of the best things that come out of Canada is definitely Scott, because besides that, you guys got Tim Hortons and sort of shitty beer, man.
Are you? No, wait. So that's one thing that I will disagree with you on. That's one of my passions when I'm not training super hard. I really enjoy our craft beer scene.
I don't know if I've ever had a Canadian beer.
Oh, we got a great craft beer scene up here.
Yeah. They're pretty. They're okay at hockey too.
Pretty okay. Yeah. You could say people have heard of us for that.
Yeah.
What are Canadian beers? I don't know if I've ever had one. Like popular ones that we would have here,
like Molson.
No.
Molson, okay. And Molson.
You would in Staten Island. You'd probably get some Toronto breweries for sure.
Yeah, I don't think I've had any Canadian beer, so I really can't agree or disagree.
Yeah. I would say don't waste your time, Vin.
I'll bring you one to Vegas.
Vegas?
Because you're going to Triumphant.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sure. I would love to go to Vegas.
Yeah, if we go to Vegas, we definitely do that, man.
Yep.
All right, man. So it was a pleasure talking to you, brother. Just wanted to say thank you for coming on to the podcast and, you know, talking to us a little bit about your journey here in Muay Thai. And your journey, not your continued journey, obviously, since you're going to be this next step into the pro ranks is going to be a huge one for you, man. And we're definitely rooting for you. I know there's, I know this is a big step up in competition, but I think you've proven that you're ready for it. You've done a lot of good things already in the game. And, we're rooting for you. And that's it.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for the support. It's been really great listening to you guys over the years, and getting to be on your show is really cool.
Where can people find you, Scott?
So I am on Instagram. My personal one is Scott Smash McKenzie, and then my business one is FightFitYYC. And I'm also, I have an athlete page on Facebook that's Scott Smash McKenzie.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Have you given any thought to the Calgarian Colossus, the new nickname?
No. Smash has been my nickname since I was a little kid. My sister gave it to me way back in the day. It's Stan.
Well, also, man, also, yeah, because that other one's pretty shitty, man. My bad.
it has a good ring to it. It's a little long.
It's a little long-winded, just like me. But you know what? We also wanted to thank you, Scott, because if you guys didn't see, Scott was one of our big striking professional supporters for a while, and so we wanted to thank you for that, man. Always wearing our stuff with pride.
Yeah,
I just was wearing the Kick Livers Eat Tacos tank the other day.
Yeah, man.
Did you do either one of those activities while wearing it?
I kicked some livers. Tacos aren't on the diet plan right now.
I'll take it.
We like it. Kick livers, man. That's all you need. Well, anyway, so remember, guys, you can catch Scott on his social media, Scott Smash McKenzie, Fight Fit, and YYC. That's on Instagram and also on his Facebook athlete page. Scott, once again, man, thank you for being on the show. We really appreciate it. We've been, you know, fans of yours for a while. I would say we also friends. We want to see you. You know, we want to see you do well. Can't wait to see you fight on April 13th, correct? That's Triumphant 7. And you're going to be facing off with Narpol Fairtex. A huge fight, guys. Make sure you do not miss that. This is going to be a big opportunity for Scott. It's going to be a great fight regardless. And then also keep your eyes out for him too, as we'll be giving you guys updates of, you know, how the team does when it goes to – if you want a shout-out, who do you need a shout-out to, bud?
I just want to say thanks to Muay Thai Addict. They're hooking me up with some super fresh custom shorts and a walkout hoodie. Mm-hmm. And Proactive Health Group, Marmot Construction, Celtic Finishing, Classic Fight Shop here in Calgary, Victory Mouthguards, Nakmoy Legends, and I'm always looking to work with other good people in the Muay Thai community.
Yeah, like the Striking Corner, right?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, man. Much love, and I hope you do. I mean, I'm just like I said, man, keep kicking ass. Like I said, guys, make sure you follow him on Instagram. He's always putting up great vids of his training and stuff. Dude's an absolute beast. Love watching you do work, man, and you know, we wish you nothing but the best.
Thanks again, guys. Really appreciate it.
Muay Thai คือชีวิต.
All right. So that was our good friend Scott Smash McKenzie from Canada, from the Canadian National Muay Thai team, from Elite Martial Arts in Calgary, from Fight Fit in Calgary as well. We were really happy to have him on the podcast. Make sure that you guys check him out at Scott Smash McKenzie on Instagram. Follow this guy. Like I said, he's a good friend of ours. He's always putting up great videos of his training. He's doing fucking amazing stuff, man. He's doing really well in the game. And he's going to be fighting a really tough fight on April 13th for Triumphant 7, which is our good friend Jeff Juarez promotion. They're doing great things, and they have a really, really awesome card coming up, and Scott is going to be on that one. He's going to be fighting Narpol Fairtex, which is going to be an amazing bout, so you definitely want to check that out. But we are really happy to have him on, and we wish him nothing but the best. Good guy, and also a phenomenal fighter as well. So we were happy to have him on the podcast. Vinny, you got anything else to add?
Were you happy to have him on the podcast?
Yes, yes, yes. I know. I repeat myself, and that's your new fucking like thing that you're trying to do with people to call me out on how many times I repeat myself. Vinny, is there anything else you want to add besides shitting on me?
Follow me on Instagram.
All right, follow Vinny on Instagram at Vinny Scotto.
They already know. You don't have to tell them.
Yeah. Okay. Trust me, man. Listen, I don't want to talk badly about our guests. I mean, sorry, not about our guests, about our listeners. But after having worked in radio for many years, sometimes you'll tell people, listen, hey guys, to win, please call 1-800 da 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 da, right? And then the first comment on the Facebook page after you have just posted something saying, please call this number to win, The first comment will be, what's the number?
No, that's that's a thing. You know why?
So you always got to beat them over the head with the fucking information, man.
No, but it's it just has to do with the fact that you're not like a you're not expecting to have to remember numbers.
Okay.
Because I get that all the time when somebody leaves me like a voicemail. Yes, people do still leave voicemails, especially on the gym line.
Yeah.
But when somebody leaves a voicemail with their phone number, I always have to go back and listen to it again because I wasn't expecting. I mean, I should have been because it is a voicemail. But I wasn't expecting to have to remember a number.
Oh, okay.
So I always got to go back and listen to it again unless I just click on the voicemail and call back. But anyway.
Yeah.
You get what I'm trying to say here.
I guess. But anyway, yes. You guys can catch us on Striking Corner on Instagram at Striking Corner, on our website, strikingcorner.com. And we are also on Twitter at Striking Corner and Facebook at Striking Corner. My personal account is Eric Rivera_TSC. And nobody cares. And that's it, guys. You can also find us on all applications where you want to find podcasts. If you're listening to us already, thank you, obviously, for listening and lasting this long into the podcast. The information that you listen to usually at this point in the podcast is really, really just a repetition of everything you heard at the beginning. And it just means that you're probably a really big fan or wasting a lot of time.
Everything that you say is just a repetition of something.
All right. Well, that's it, guys. Thank you once again for listening, for supporting the podcast. And thank you once again for listening and supporting the podcast.
Wait, real quick, before we go,
yeah.
I want to know how many people actually listen to this point. So please, if you've listened to this point, just give me a thumbs up in the comments.
Where?
Anywhere, wherever they found it.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
all right, guys.
Just a thumbs up. This way, I know you listened to the end.
Just like a thumbs up, which means thumbs up, because that would be the inside joke, pretty much. Yes. All right, guys, that's it for this podcast. We'll talk to you again in 2 weeks with another guest. Thank you for listening.
've been listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto.